Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. We just bow your heads with me this morning. Lord, thank you for this day that you've made. Thank you for this opportunity to come together and just to celebrate who you are. We welcome your presence here, O Lord. We celebrate you, O Lord Jesus. O God, just speak to us this morning. Through your word, thank you for all that you've spoken to us already, dear God, through the worship, through the special presentations, through our children, through, oh God, this special about your birth. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you have your way in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Again, for those who don't know me, I'm Eva Clark. I'm the pastor of Life Church with my husband, Rockland Clark. And I'm so glad and so grateful to be with you this morning just to share a word, a brief word, as we continue to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have with you, I hope, a scripture memory, or page, a scripture sheet, which is what we've been doing on a weekly basis, so you don't have a Bible, you can look here. If you don't have one, we probably have a few extra. But these are the scriptures we're using this morning as we look into God's Word. You'll probably find these familiar as the children recited and sang these scriptures for us and today. But let's just take a look at these scriptures this morning. The first is in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, as you see there, if you want to turn in your Bible, feel free, Luke chapter 2. And this scripture that we have here, it picks up in verse 8. But the setting is that Mary, who of course is the mother of Jesus and her husband, have come because there's been a decree that they have to participate in a census. And so they've come to town, and Mary is expecting to give birth at the time to Jesus. And you know the story. There was no room for them in the inn. And so we see the baby Jesus being born and laying in a manger. And there's a big announcement that comes. So let's look at this in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, and this wonderful announcement that's been made about the birth of Jesus. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." If you look with me also, and it's here on your sheet, the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. And this is actually a prophetic word that came before the birth of Jesus. And this is a prophetic word, and it's talking about Jesus coming. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and it reads, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I just want to share a word this morning about this whole subject of good news. We see there in the book of Luke, the angel says, hey, I've got good news for you. I love this setting because you've got shepherds who are out in the field at night. Who's ever been out in a remote place away from the city lights where it's pitch dark? See, we don't really have the sense on a day-to-day basis living as most of us do in an urban environment of what it really is like at night when you're away from the city lights. It's dark. It's dark out there, pitch black outside. And you've got shepherds, they're keeping watch over their flocks because they're eager to protect their flock from any kind of danger or harm. They're trying to make sure wolves don't come, make sure they don't get eaten up, that there's no type of predator that comes and steals the sheep. So they're on the lookout, they're on the watch for any kind of danger. And all of a sudden, here they are out in the pitch black trying to keep watch over their flocks when suddenly the glory of the Lord is shining around them. An angel appears, all this brightness, this big angel. Of course, their reaction is like, oh no, what is this? Terror, fear. Never seen anything like this before. But the angel actually has a word of good news for them. Good news beyond what they had ever heard before, ever expected, ever anticipated. Perhaps you've had the experience of good news in your life before. If I were to ask you, have you ever gotten good news? Maybe something would kind of leap to mind for you. I know for me, the things that leap to mind sometimes were about people that I love. And usually the word about the people that I love is that they're okay. As a wife, as a mother, as a grandmother, I love people. I love my friends. I love my family. I love my church family. I am eager to hear that people are okay. So there's a word of good news that comes when people are just okay. I know when my son was away from home in New York, this is during the whole 9/11 incident. He was in New York. Now, just the fact that he was in New York, did anyone try to call New York during 9/11? You could not get through any kind of lines. You had no clue. So, of course, my imagination was just going everywhere. What if he's on a field trip to World Trade Center? I don't know where he is. So just getting the good news that he was okay. Wonderful. Some of you have gotten good news, but I want you to think about that. Some good news that you've received that's about you. Maybe not about someone else that you love, but just about you. And I would imagine that the good news that you have received over the years might fall like it does for me in one of a couple of categories. Good news. Either good things that have happened to you or for you, or bad things that didn't happen. Can anybody identify with a couple of bad things that didn't happen that turned out to be very good news? You could have been jammed up. You could have been really, really in trouble, but you were not. Somehow, you were able to come through. Even though it may have been your fault, even though it may have been your lack, even though it may have been your poor decision-making or your lack of attention to something. I know Rock and I have shared the story about traveling for the first time to Pennsylvania. And here we are, a couple of black folk, in Pennsylvania for the first time, middle of the night, we're just enjoying the mountains, we're just enjoying the setting and everything. Somehow we forgot to notice the fact that our gas tank was running a little bit low. So there we are, we're just traveling, just having a good time, just looking at the setting and everything. And suddenly we're on these kind of remote roads, and we're looking down, it's like, it looks like our gas tank is on E. Matter of fact, it looks like it has slipped slightly below. Have you been there? Your gas tank, not even is on E, it has slipped below E. So you're literally driving on fumes. Middle of Pennsylvania, middle of the mountains, remote area. Like, oh no, it's not like being on 93 or someplace where you can just pull over. There's all kinds of rest stops, nothing. Then we saw sort of a glimmer of hope. Pull over, there's a sign for a gas station. Pull over, gas station's closed. It was like, this is when you start praying. I know. Some of us, it takes a little time. You got to start praying at that point. Like, Lord, you know. Please, God. So we were so excited and so thrilled when we saw that Shell light. Yellow Shell sign. Orange trim. So that's looking familiar. Thank you, Lord. You rescued us. You see? Good things that happen. Provision. Access. I'm not the kind of person that usually wins stuff, but I remember one time I won a door prize, and it happened to be a couple of airline tickets. Not bad, right? And at the time, I had to go traveling places, and I didn't have the money to be paying for my airfare, so those airline tickets, like, woo! I was so glad. One time, a neighbor came and knocked on our door to tell us that our car had been hit. It was parked in front of our house. Now, usually, you find out your car has been hit. It's typically not good news. But our reaction when we found out that our car had been hit, as a matter of fact, it was totaled, we were like, whoo! Thank you, Jesus! You see the blue book value of our car being totaled was much more than the trade-in value. He was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Woo, our car is totaled. See, good news. Resources. Access to stuff. And see, these kind of natural examples, they just set us up, okay, for the spiritual good news that's coming. See, much beyond, far beyond just the material resources, far beyond just escaping a jam temporarily. We're looking at salvation that's available to all people. All of us have access to salvation. And what does that look like? It's freedom from the bondage of sin and the bondage of death. Because all of us are headed towards death. It's unless Jesus comes back during our lifetime, all of us one day are going to die. It's just a reality. It's just a fact of life. You are born and you will die. Unless Jesus comes back before you die, you're going to die. So we're all going to face God at some point. But the good news is that we can face God with confidence when we take advantage of this good news that has come, which is the message of salvation for all of us. Salvation for all mankind. Pastor Watson's been doing a series on the book of Romans. And you may recall from his series in the book of Romans that we were all once enemies of God. Enemies of God. But because of Jesus, we can be in right standing with God and God's friend. Now, maybe some of you have had people in your lifetime you can think of that you really didn't want to have as an enemy. You ever been there? Maybe especially growing up. There was a bully, someone you didn't want to have, someone who was much stronger than you, much bigger than you, much badder than you. You didn't want that person as an enemy. I can remember for me, it was a set of girls. Not only would they take your lunch, they take your lunch money. I mean, it's bad enough. You already took my lunch. Now you want the little bit of money I have for some milk? You don't want those people as your enemy. How much more do you not want to have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as an enemy? But that's the state we're all in life, because we are born to sin. So we're all enemies of God. But the good news is we can be God's friend. So the angel comes, and the angel's saying, there's good news of great joy for all people, because a Savior has been born to you. And we've begun to look at what that means for Jesus to be the Savior in our lives. In addition, the angel tells them, He is Christ the Lord. And I want to look a little bit at what this means, that we have Jesus coming as Savior and Jesus coming as Christ the Lord. You know, one of the things that we know about Jesus is that he has come as the Christ or the Messiah, which means that he is the anointed one. Now, we see this in scripture. We don't see this as much unless we are, unless we participate in this type of activity. But anointing someone, it involves typically the pouring on of oil onto someone's head. But it symbolizes, it's not just a matter of pouring on the oil, but it symbolizes the fact that there's qualifications that have been imparted to that individual upon their being anointed. So you see in Scripture different types of people being anointed. You see prophets being anointed. You see priests being anointed. You see kings being anointed. And the anointing means that they have the qualification to help. They have the qualification to fulfill the role that they have been assigned. And Jesus is both prophet, priest, and king. So he's been anointed all of those. And he is the anointed one. And see, we have the power of Jesus acting within our lives when we are believers. And we need to understand that the anointing comes from those who are anointed. So Jesus is the anointed one. Qualification. You see, when we are in a place where we need help, we need someone who's qualified to actually provide that help for us. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed help and the person who purported to help you didn't know what they were doing? Is that like even more frustrating than not going for help in the first place? Like, I could have done that all by myself. Anyway, I know there have been times, and maybe some of you have never had this situation, but there have been times when I've needed help, and I needed sort of a break or a restructuring with something financially. Anyone ever been there where you needed somebody to kind of like, oh, I need to kind of restructure my payment? And to call up and to get somebody who's like, well, I don't know. I mean, I remember one time I called to restructure, you know, my payment. I went to pay. I just needed to restructure my payment. And the woman who I spoke to, she was almost like, I don't know what planet you're on, basically. Like, I don't know why you think anyone could ever do that. I'm not authorized to allow that kind of thing to ever happen. You can't do that. I was like, okay. I mean, I want to pay this thing. I just need to restructure. Tell you what you do. You call back like an hour later, and you get somebody else. Yes. That's how you do that thing. You call back an hour later, like, bet. You know, I laid out my plan. Sure, no problem. Somebody who qualified to help you. They're not hindered. They're not limited. They understand. They get it. And see, the Lord is in a position to help us like nobody else can help us. He's the anointed one. He's the prophet, the priest, and the king. Prophet, what does a prophet do? Speaks to us on behalf of God. What does a priest do? Intervenes for us to God. A king who's Lord over all. Jesus does all of those things in our lives. But I want to focus today on Jesus as the Prince of Peace. You see in this Isaiah passage, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as we see in the previous passage, and as the children recited for us in verse 14 of Luke chapter 2, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. On earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. You know, that's talking about people who are in good standing with God. People who are in good standing. So although it's available to everyone, there's a peace that's available to people on whom the favor of God rests. And that means people who are in right standing with God. People who have made a decision to follow Jesus, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. People who've made a decision that their will is submitted to his. People who are walking by faith in right standing with God. Peace to those people. And we see Jesus, for he's being referred to here in Isaiah chapter 9, as the Prince of Peace. Let's look at that a little bit. You know, when you think about peace, I know what often comes to mind for me in thinking about peace is just that kind of mental state. If I were to say, oh, I just want to be at peace, maybe some of you like me would initially think about that mental state that's a lack of anxiety. I'm just at peace. Whew, I'm just relaxed. I'm just like, everything's good. Everything's copacetic. I'm at peace. But peace, as is represented here, is much more than just a mental state, just a lack of mental anxiety. What we're talking about, a state here of wholeness. And I really want to challenge and encourage you this morning. So I was thinking about this, and I felt the Lord was really focusing on this whole area of peace, this whole notion of being whole. Being whole, wholeness in God. And that with the peace of God resting upon us, with Jesus being the Prince of Peace, that we should have the expectation, we should be walking in this area of wholeness within our lives. Now, what does it look like to be whole? And I wanted to share an experience with you, and this is just an illustration from life that hopefully you can translate into wholeness spiritually, wholeness in terms of a relationship with God, wholeness in terms of our relationship with other people, wholeness in terms of our relationship with ourselves, wholeness in every area of our lives. You know, we had the unfortunate experience, Rocklin and I, over the past year with our house. I just want to give an illustration again about wholeness. Because see, the contrast to wholeness is what? Brokenness. The opposite of wholeness, brokenness. And maybe some of you can relate to areas of brokenness in your lives. And Lord is saying today, I want you to be whole. Wholeness is available to you as believers. And just as an illustration of the opposite of brokenness, I just want to share something with our lives in terms of our house. Some of you may be like us, you may have a house, you're trying to take care of your house. We had this experience of having to wait to address a broken porch in our property. Now, there can be things that are broken, you know, in your house. But one thing you really don't want to have broken in your house is your porch. I can say that from experience. But we had a broken porch. And we wanted to get it fixed right away. We couldn't get it fixed right away. It's fixed now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I can walk past that thing. Whoo. Thank you, Jesus. It's beautiful. It's decorated. Someone said to me, I've never seen that your porch decorated like that. Like, yeah, I know. Not only is it fixed, it's decorated. It's looking good. But it was broken for a season before it was fixed. Now, a porch, now, unlike some other areas of your house, a porch is a very important thing to not have broken because it can be a source of danger for you, danger for other people. And I want you to be thinking about this in terms of your life generally. This is an illustration of an area of brokenness, but we shored it up. We shored it up. We had a big pole trying to shore it up. Make sure it wasn't going to fall on us, fall on anybody else. But that was just a temporary fix. Sometimes we can get comfortable with areas of brokenness in our lives with a temporary fix. It's just a stopgap measure. It's just patching stuff up temporarily. But see, that's not real healing. That's not real wholeness. That's just a temporary fix for the time being. But God is saying today, I want you to be whole. I want you to be whole. You know, there were areas on our porch that had little, like, broken, missing pieces. And see, when you have an area of brokenness in your life, the problem is it provides access for other stuff to happen. Further decay. You got a little bit of brokenness, water, and of course water can seep in there, then stuff is getting more rotten underneath and the wood's starting to crumble. You see, when there's an area of brokenness, it provides access to other more problematic issues to come into your life. Don't ignore it. If God's speaking to you about an area of brokenness, don't ignore it. You can get comfortable. You can become acclimated to a broken state, to where it seems normal to you. It seems like this is the way things are always going to be. But God's saying, no, it's time to pay attention and start fixing. You see, we could have little squirrels coming in there. We thought we had a problem with the broken porch. Now there's a squirrel taking up residence like it owns the place. You say, wait a second, what happened? What happened to my life? Now all kinds of influences, all kinds of strongholds have been established because there's a level of brokenness that hasn't been fixed. Yes. See, peace is about wholeness. It's not just a mental state. It's about wholeness. So the resources finally came. And God is the author of life. He is the author of life for us. He is the provider. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Everything we need, all the resources, they're right there. So God is saying this morning, behold, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Deliverer. That's what salvation is all about. It's deliverance from those things that are harmful to us, and it's provision for us, ultimately because we're in right standing with God. So I want to encourage you this morning, as we continue to celebrate Jesus, to be whole in him and to allow him to fix those broken places in your life. Amen. 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 Let's just pray together. Why don't we stand together? We can just pray and then we'll continue with worship. Just bow your heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day that we've had just to focus in on you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you that when we're in right relationship with you, we can experience wholeness, Lord, in every area of our lives. So, Lord, I just lift up this entire congregation. And Lord, for those who desire to make a change in their lives, desire, Lord, to submit themselves to you, to follow you, oh God, we thank you, Lord, that all we need to do is to decide to make you Lord and Savior, and you promised to save us, Lord. And Lord, for those who want to be whole this morning, let's ask you to lift your hands this morning just to surrender to the Lord. If that's you, Lord, I want to be whole. I want to be whole, Lord. The brokenness, Lord, just fix those areas of brokenness within me. Lord, you see your people. Oh, God, we thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Wholeness, oh God. We proclaim it today for your people. And we thank you, Lord, for each one receiving your peace this morning. Having the expectation, God, for wholeness in every area of their lives. We take dominion authority over every work of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for wholeness for your people. We just celebrate you this morning, and we thank you for all that you are doing in every life. We give you the praise and the glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.